Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Captain J. Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride on this Deal Breakers opening day Thursday. What open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Two great words. We finally got here, Cap. Here we are, opening day for the Cubs and Sox and the rest of Major League Baseball. We finally made it.
Yes, sir. Better than my birthday. Opening day of my favorite sport. I love them all. I watch them all. I cover them all. I gamble on them all. Baseball. Opening day. I know what's coming. Warm, beautiful weather.
Yes.
Sooner rather than later is going to be here. The Cubs, the White Sox, just the soundtrack of summer, man. Yes. It is. The soundtrack of summer is back. Whether you're going to the game, listening to the game, watching the game, following the game, or just kind of cursory, my team's not very good. Mm-hmm. It's still what we all grew up with. Daughters with their fathers, sons with their mothers. Sylvie tells the story. It was his mom who made him a Cub fan growing up.
Yeah.
His dad wasn't the biggest sports guy. And, man, my dad, baseball was it, man. Mm-hmm. He watched them all. But baseball, and it's opening day, and I'm going to be with you and the rest of our teammates out at Guaranteed Rate today to watch that. Scoot out a little early so I can get home to watch my Cubbies play the Rangers, the defending world champ. Let's go!
Green grass and the food wafting through at Guaranteed Rate Field. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it, Cap.
Yeah. I'm just excited to see. I know the Sox are not predicted for the greatest season, but guess what? Just go out and play hard. Play hard and let the chips fall where they may.
At this point in time, when I think about baseball on either side of town, I just want to have something interesting to watch as we get ready for training camp for the Bears and the NFL. Just entertain us. You know, the thing about baseball for me, and it courses through my veins because it's a sport that I love, it's a sport that I played, is that it's a sports rhythm thing. It's a sports rhythm thing. When you know that the weather's going to turn, and every day, almost every day between now and late October, maybe into November, you're going to get baseball. Now, no matter what, no matter what is on TV, at some point you'll see a baseball game. And so I have that comfort of knowing, Cap, between now and by the time we get to October, we're going to have baseball every day. Yes. Almost every day, and which is really cool. There's this rogue 11 a.m. game. There's a 9:30 game at night. The point is that it's baseball, and I just love it so much. And again, as you mentioned, eventually warm weather will happen. Not today, but eventually we're going to get warm weather.
Right.
Yeah.
Like again, the football season's awesome, and it's the best rated sport. I get all of that, and it's fun. It's America's sport now. It is. But when October comes, I know winter's around the corner. The days are going to get shorter. It's going to be dark and gloomy and gray. Now, I can deal with whatever the weather, whatever Tracy cooks up for us, Tracy mm-hmm. Butler. I can deal with it because within, 30 to 60 days? Oh, I can wear shorts to work. It is 80 degrees.
Yes.
Here we go.
That's what we enjoy the most.
Yes.
So what I've done is I've compiled a list, Cubs and White Sox, of things I'm looking forward to this spring into the summer. And when it starts with the Cubs, as we know, it depends on where you go. The over-under win total is 84.5. Division odds is at plus 190. I think that's from ESPN Bet where I got that from.
Mm-hmm.
And so the number one storyline for me is Craig Counsell because it came out of nowhere. You didn't have any rumor innuendo. You didn't have anyone telling you, hey, by the way, there might be a managerial change. It happened out of nowhere.
Yep.
David Ross is the manager in place. I know I'm traveling someplace. I'm at Midway Airport, and I'm looking on my phone. I go, who's the manager of the cup? What happened there? Craig Counsell.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
You won't,
it came from the ceiling.
You were flying to do a game, I think.
Yes.
And I'm at home, and I'm sitting in my office at home working on whatever it is I'm doing on my computer, and it says, Craig Counsell's expected to make a decision in the next 2 hours. That was the tweet from Passan or Rosenthal. I'm like, oh, wonder who's hiring him. Probably the Mets.
Yeah. Right. That was the line. That was the line. So, like, he knew the general manager, and so that's where he's going to go. He's going to be a Met
right,
manager.
David Stearns is there, his old GM from Milwaukee. I'm like, yeah, he's going to the Mets. Boy, he's really good. I wish we had him. Not in any way a shot at David Ross. Just like, wow, Craig Counsell. And then, like, 30 minutes later, I start getting alerts on my phone. It says, Counsell to ... Cubs. I'm like, what?
Right.
What?
Yes.
So I made a couple phone calls. They're like, yeah, nobody at Wrigley knew except Jed, Tom Ricketts, and Carter, the GM, who works for Jed. They said he kept it. You can't imagine how quiet. And then he flew to Florida to tell David Ross personally. What? Craig Counsell? And so I do a little research. I'm like, oh, my God, his agent I went to high school with.
Mm-hmm.
So I call his agent, Barry. I'm like, he answers the phone. He's like, gotcha. I said, how could you not tell me? Because I was sworn to secrecy.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Imagine in 2024 that being airtight where you got nothing. No information, no intel out of nowhere.
Nowhere.
And he just drops into Wrigley Field as the manager. I'm interested in him because the old adage, you'll hear this, by the way, in the first month of the season, you know, the manager really doesn't matter because it's such a long season. The manager does matter. It does matter.
Agreed.
People confuse manager with coach all the time in our sports conversation.
And it offends baseball people.
Yeah. There's a confusion because they think long season, these guys just go out there and hit the ball. They pitch the ball. It's fine. But in with basketball, there's always the clipboard. You got the dry erase board. You're drawing up plays. That's real coaching there. That guy just stands in the dugout for not. That's not what it is, Cap. What it is that number one for me is that the manager must set the culture. Must set the culture. That's number one.
Correct.
You have to have a mission statement. I'm big on mission statements. Who are you as a team? You're the Chicago Cubs. Yeah? And what else? Well, we're going to find out under counsel what else. Well, David Ross, hey, he held the guys accountable.
He did.
Okay, so we could say that about David Ross. With counsel, we're going to find out exactly what he's about, but you must have a mission statement. You must say, this is how we play the game, and this is how we conduct our business. You must control that as a manager. And it's hard because you got to do that from February to hopefully the end of October to be able to keep that standard. So that matters. The idea that a guy just comes there up, managing the ball club here. I'm going to stand here. When is the pitching change? What do they say? All right, I'll go out. That'll be all. That's more than that.
Oh, totally.
It's more than that. And counsel from what we get from Jesse is a guy that's really into the details and very, very stringent on exactly what he wants as a manager.
Correct. Not a lot of rules in terms of how you live your life or what you do. You be you. But when you step in this locker room, you're going to play a certain way. You're not going to play here.
Yeah.
Period. You and I had a player on, and he said he was playing for a veteran manager, Lou Piniella. But they had a great team. They won 116 games. And he said, we came in one day, and it had been late travel. Skip looks tired, man.
Yep.
He's exhausted. Hey, Skip, we got this. You just sit there in the corner. We'll take care of everything. He said, and we just went out and pounded people because
yes.
They had such a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, when you've got a small margin of error, oh, you better extract every ounce of talent out of that roster.
And that's why I'm looking forward to seeing what Counsell can bring. this is a ball club here that should make the playoffs this year. I'll say it before we get to Bernie's on Monday for opening day officially for the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. The Cubs should be in the playoffs this year. And you can say what you want about the division. I just think that the Cubs have enough talent, blessed with good health, to be able to get to the playoffs this year. Now, what they do with that, I don't know, because I foresee the Cubs adding on by the time we get to the deadline. It's a good ball club, Cap. I've been, you know, kind of jabbing you in the ribs here in the offseason about the Cubs, saying, you know, you're good, but you should be better. The Cubs are good enough to make the playoffs. But I'm just saying that this trade deadline has to be different than last year's.
Agreed.
Because the general manager, and Jed may not say this on the record, but he didn't fully believe in the ball club last year. You know what? Let's just see what happens. We're a good ball club, but we're not playoff ready. You should be playoff ready this year, I would say.
I agree. They should go to the playoffs. There's not one team in that division that should scare them. Not one. Doesn't mean they're going to win every game. Doesn't mean they're going to win the division. But they should. You're the financial heavyweight in the division.
Mm-hmm.
You got a really good young team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all in that this, like, 87 wins trending up, as long as you stay healthy.
Remember the press conference from Craig Council? He says the first day as a Cub means something.
The first day as a Cub, and it already starts to mean something. You walk into the history, you walk into the energy, you walk into a place that, like, you already know it demands your best. And that feeling is just a feeling that I need to have, and I love to have, and I love that to be a part of, like, my daily life.
Thoughts there from Craig Council.
Yeah, it's super cool. And then to find out that he had always openly, like, admired being a Cub at some point. And when Jed got the call, this guy's a free agent on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
She can't talk to him till then. He's interested if you are. And Council said during spring, yeah, if the Cubs hadn't called, I was probably going to Cleveland. He was not ever going to New York. Had zero interest in the New York lifestyle. He's a Midwest guy. And bam, okay, let's get together. And they met up in the northern suburbs as opposed to anywhere where media types like you and I,
yeah,
reporters like Sully, could find him.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, done.
I look at the ball club and I say Council's a guy, Bellinger's a guy also, that, again, we're going back and forth. Would Bellinger sign? And finally, the Cubs have Bellinger. I'm not saying that the Cubs signed a megastar. What I'm saying is that they solidified a spot there for Bellinger. Outfield, infield, he could do both. And you're just looking for a strong bat to come through. I look forward to some power. I look forward to more on-base percentage, if anything else, to keep the line moving for the Cubs. That's what I look forward to seeing. Just keep the line moving, because look at the lineup, honestly. You've seen better lineups, Cap, for the Cubs,
mm-hmm,
with power 3-6, 3-7. This team seems like it's a keep the line moving type of ball club. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't think they have a 40 home run guy on their team.
Right.
But I do think Seiya Suzuki's going to the All-Star game.
With Justin Steele?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to the All-Star. He had a really good year last year.
Yes, he did. He's fifth in Cy Young.
So we'll see, mm-hmm, if he can. He went way past his career high in innings. Way past it. Can you bounce back and do that again? We'll find out. Starts tonight. He's on the mound. But I do think Seiya is going to be their best offensive player.
I wrote down Suzuki on the yellow pad, too. I want to know what this looks like here, where him being comfortable, him being a catalyst. What's his best spot in the lineup, do you think? Third?
Suzuki?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd hit him third.
Like, exclusively third.
You're my three-hole hitter.
Not Ian Happ?
No, he's leading off.
Okay.
Right. He's leading off.
Okay.
So, yeah.
If we turn the clock back 5 years ago, you and I would be arguing about Ian Happ. Why is Ian Happ leading off? What can he do?
Right.
He's not a flea at the top of the lineup.
Correct.
What does he do?
And now teams don't want little fleas at the top of the line.
Yeah.
I mean, George Springer leads off where, in Toronto?
Yeah.
I mean, you got all these different guys that they strike out a ton. Schwarber. But, man, they're impactful when they put the ball in play.
I like Suzuki at the third spot. And a cleanup?
Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger. Okay.
Let's go!
Yeah. I think that
Nico in the two
as is,
Hap in the one. Let's go.
I like Nico Horner. We haven't really talked a lot about him. I like him just as a little spark plug for the team.
Good player.
A solid glove. You know what you're getting with him. He's not going to do too much. He's not going to be over the top, but it's just a guy you say, boy, that guy was a springboard to get the line moving offensively. The key base hit, you know, going the other way. I think he's very good. He's a good ball player to have. You can't have nine stars in your lineup in baseball. At least not today you can. But you can have guys that are interchangeable parts that do little things. Glove first, but also he can get on, extend innings for you. I like it.
I'm excited, man. It's my favorite day of the year.
So, to me and to Cap, opening day is still special. But Cap thinks it's better than another big day on his calendar. So that's which is amazing.
Yep.
So if you're a baseball fan and you're looking forward to opening day today, the Cubs and the White Sox, let's get your calls in. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. I actually have some things I'm looking forward to with the White Sox as well,
mm-hmm.
because we have the White Sox and the Tigers opening day right here on ESPN 1000. Our coverage starts at 2:30 right here on the home of the White
Sox.
We'll be there. ESPN 1000.
Jay Hood are back.
We are back, baby. We are back. We're back. Yeah. Classic.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, coming up at noon, it'll be Carmen Yurko broadcasting live from Cork and Carry at the Park. And that will lead you into White Sox baseball as the Sox take on the Tigers, a 2:30 start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. If you're just joining us, we're talking about opening day, the Cubs and the White Sox, as the Cubs will take on the champs, the Texas Rangers, and the Sox are at home at guaranteed rate to take on the Tigers. So as I was telling you, Cap, on my yellow pad, I have things I'm looking forward to. And I told you my thoughts about the Cubs, Council, Bellinger, Suzuki. The ball club is going to go to the playoffs. On the White Sox side of the ledger, so the over-under, according to ESPN Bet, is 61.5 for the win total. 61.5.
Uh-oh.
The division odds is at 2,500, plus 2,500.
So for novices out there, it means you bet $100.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, I'd like the White Sox to win the division, please. That'll be $100. Here you go. If they win the division, you get back $2,600. Your $100 and $2,500 in profit.
So, Cap, you know, it's so funny, baseball's rebuild versus football's rebuild. As we talked about the Bears over the years, about how you go from 3 wins to 7 wins, we understood what Ryan Poles was trying to do. Something we haven't seen in our lifetime is like, all right, we're getting rid of all these guys, we're starting over. The Bears are starting over. It's almost palatable from a football standpoint because we're talking about 17 games. But boy, when you got 162.
Oh, boy.
And you're going through the whole summer of it. Cap, that's difficult. You know what that was like to try to get yourself a World Series championship on the north side.
So exactly to what you're saying, I went to lunch one day with Jed Hoyer. This is in 2012 or 13. The rebuild's in its infancy. And we're walking back from lunch in Wrigleyville, mm-hmm. and we bump into Theo Epstein and Jason McLeod. They both look like death warmed over.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Theo, how's it going? He said, I feel like I've seen a ghost. Who's pitching for us tonight?
Oh,
and I
God.
Said,
doesn't know.
I'll never forget. I said, Jason Birkin. He said, who is that?
Wow.
How did we get to this point? He said, I told you when you got hired. Do you have any idea what you've gotten yourself into here?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, dude, I don't know how we're going to win a game. And they ended up 61-101, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He says the hardest thing he's ever gone through. He goes, you're a competitor by nature.
Yes.
You show up to work every day, and you know you're getting the ever-living crap beaten out of you.
It was kind of set up that way, and he knew he had to build this thing brick by brick to where he got it to a World Series championship.
Correct.
And a perennial playoff team at that.
Correct.
But what about my side of town, though, Cap?
Oh, boy.
The White Sox finished with 61 wins last year. Their second fewest in 162-game season in franchise history. I want you to think about that. They had 60 wins in 1970. So what we saw last season is that win percentage They haven't been this bad since 1970. The run differential has not been this bad since 1948. That's minus 200 on the run differential. The Sox had hit 238 as a ball club. 238 as a ball club. The worst since I was born, 72. On base percentage, the worst since 1968 at 291. The OPS, the worst it's been since 1988, it was 675. It was horrible last year. But it continues because now you have even fewer talented players on the roster under Pedro Grifol. What I will tell you is I'm interested in today because it's opening day. And Crochet, if he's got that violent, you know, windup, kind of like Chris Sale when he was with the White Sox. And I'm thinking this guy's never been a starter before, and now he's pitching opening day. He gets the ball. This ball club is so bad that Michael Kopech is in the bullpen. That's how bad it is. Like, you know what? We just need to be able to put fingers in places where we didn't know we had places. So here, just be in the bullpen for us. At least we got a stud out there, we think. But this is almost rock bottom, Cap. It's not like I've never seen bad baseball on the South Side before. My point is that a rebuild is almost, it's not acceptable in our city. It's Chicago. You shouldn't have to start from the bottom. But it's happened. Blackhawks did it. Cubs did it. We get it, right? But in baseball, it's just such a long slog. 162, the ineptitude, 4 and 5 out innings, bad pitching, not enough offense. It's more difficult. In 17 games with a football season, like, all right, we know we're not very good. Let's see what happens in the draft. But in baseball, if you're not spending money, it's very difficult. So Crochet, I'm looking forward to. Also, this Grifol. I understand what Pedro's in here for. Pedro is a stopgap for whatever's going to be better once the Sox are better, whenever that's going to be. He's got a lot of mission statements out there, a lot of signs up there. But, again, he can't win without talent.
Correct.
So this is tough. This is going to be a tough season.
Well, it'll be really rough. But you hope you see some emerging young guys. Colson Montgomery, he's one of the top 30 prospects in baseball. Maybe he ends up having a breakout year. There's got to be some fun stories to see. Got to be. The sideshow, like all the Tim Anderson nonsense, he plays for the Marlins now.
Yeah.
Out. Just some of it's got to get better. Got to.
Well, as you well know, if the White Sox don't spend any money, you're going to continue to get what you get. I showed you last year from a television standpoint. It was the worst team in baseball. Year over year, the Sox were minus 41% down in viewership.
At NBC Sports Chicago.
And rightfully so. You can understand why.
And the Cubs were up 34 because they played better.
No, the ball club's bad. I mean, there wasn't enough Benetti and Stone stories to keep the audience entertained.
Correct.
With a 61-win ball club.
I remember calling up my brother, who's the biggest Sox fan in the world.
Yeah.
Hey, that was a pretty good game last night. He's like, I didn't watch.
Right.
Wendy and I went to dinner. I'm like, really?
Yes.
He's like, dude, come on now. We're horrible. He said, I'll watch when I'm home, but I'm not going to build my schedule around watching every single White Sox game.
Here's what it comes down to, though, Cap. Here's what it comes down to. When we knew the Bears weren't any good, when everyone else thought that the Bears are going to be a playoff team, when we saw a 3-win team, we said, okay, we know what it is. You and I knew what it was, and many smart Bears fans knew what it was. All right. When it was a 7-win ball club, we said, yeah, it's still not enough. They don't have enough talent to be able to get over the hump.
Correct.
We knew that, but again, the diehard Bears fan out there just thought, every year that's going to be the playoffs. Well, again, you can't win without talent. In baseball, though, why is it difficult for me to accept this? Because I know baseball means so much to me, as you well know, like it does to you.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to sit there. And I'll be there. You know, I'll be there to watch the White Sox. I'll be there to watch the games. But to know that the ball club is, I mean, far, far away, a galaxy away from contending.
But you
it's
know,
difficult.
But you know why it's different? Because if you're a Bears fan in your car today, man, woman, child, wow, they got the number one overall pick. Whether you were a Justin fan or Caleb Williams or whoever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, they started playing a little better. Wow, we're going to have the number one pick and the number nine pick. Wow, they got Keenan Allen. They signed who? They did this. hey, man, I think we're headed in the right direction. Like, there's a spring in a Bears fan step today. Whether it was, again, if you were for Justin or if you're for the new guy, whatever it is, you like where you think the thing is headed.
Yes. And the only thing that I can take solace in is the amenities at Guaranteed Rate. That's the main event.
Correct.
Not even the ball club.
Correct. That's correct.
It's the food and drink.
I guess there's some... Shane, can you look this up? Check this out, guys. Check this out.
All right, Carm, what do you have?
Hey, boys, can you look at this, please? Can you look at this?
Supposedly, there's some brand new milkshake that they've got there. It's like $15 for a milkshake. They said, I talked to a buddy of mine. He goes, dude, it's the greatest milkshake you'll ever have.
I have talked to many a friend about I'm going to the game today. I'm very excited. And every single one of them has replied with the tweet of the milkshake asking if I will drink it.
Yeah, my neighbor said to me, dude, get that milkshake. Tell me how it is. I'm like, I really don't eat a lot of junk like that. He's like, dude, it's... He goes, a friend of his covered it like Bleck did on the day. There it is. Mm-hmm. He said, it's better than sex.
It is
better than the best sex of your life. That's how good that milkshake is.
It can't be true. It is.
I don't agree either, but...
Well, Khalees said the same thing.
Wow. It's a 16-ounce campfire milkshake topped with graham crackers, marshmallows, and pieces of chocolate. It comes in like this plastic cup. It's got melted chocolate around the rim.
I'm looking at it. It's amazing.
The marshmallows look like they were just roasted over an open fire. Hershey's chocolate stuck on top of them.
And it's got the essential thing. It's got a wide-mouth straw. So that... It doesn't, like, the ice cream get clogged in the thin little straw. It's got a wide-mouth black straw.
You pardon the expression?
Yeah.
That thing is...
Boy, oh boy.
Oh, my God, does that look good.
Yeah, that's going to be a drop shortly.
Woody, we got to get one of those today.
I mean, like a good wide-mouth black straw.
Here's your issue, is it might be good, even today, it's a little chilly for a milkshake today. In the middle of summer, you're going to sit out in the bleachers, baking in the hot sun, and you're going to inhale a 16-ounce milkshake with marshmallow and pieces of chocolate. You are going to miss the game for the bathroom.
How many calories is in that thing?
I don't know.
Because that thing's big. But that is not a little milkshake.
I will say this, though, Cap. I could just see you and I this summer being able to share one of those. Separate straws, of course.
Yeah.
You on one side, me on the other.
Dude, that milkshake looks amazing.
So is Khalees. But I just think that is just amazing. But again, that's what I'm looking forward to. Stuff like that.
Yes.
While we're losing 14-3, at least I could be able to enjoy the food. And of course, it's Guaranteed Rate. Of course, the food's the best.
Andre base hit. Two more in. The Rays lead it 14-0 here. But this milkshake is incredible.
I really need the photo of the two of you in, like, at some point in the suite, looking across the table as you share the milkshake through separate straws. Get like the 50s diner photo, like you're on a date. I think that'd be fantastic.
Man, Levy restaurants always top shelf.
Top shelf,
not
man.
A surprise.
Oh, God. That milkshake looks in-frickin-credible. Yeah, I mean, it's literally gone viral. Like, I don't know if that was a Brooks Boyer idea, if that was a Jerry idea, or some chef said, I got an idea. I don't know how it came about, but hats off to the White Sox, because that looks incredible.
Well... Not a surprise over there. Always great food. Always innovative, too. Campfire milkshake. Check it out. But again, Cap, I mean, that's why, as I said, it's so difficult when you have a long season when it's a rebuild. That's exactly what this is. So we're going to talk to Chris Getz about that coming up at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The general manager for the Chicago White Sox. We'll get his thoughts on, like, his vision. And when do you think you can get this turned?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. So we're talking to you about opening day here, the Cubs and the White Sox. If you're a baseball fan, here you go. You guys don't talk about any baseball. Well, here we are because it's opening day.
Yep.
So 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Thank you, and safe house. Also, we are going to talk about baseball overall.
What is the... My brother and I were vendors. We did that.
You say get your hot dogs?
Fresh wieners here. Get your hot dog.
Yep. I was a beer vendor. I did peanuts. I had... Huh? The worst was pop. When you had to do pop and it was like April and it would drip through the little tray.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, it was the worst.
Sticky. Mm-hmm.
But when you got promoted to hot dogs and then beer, beer was...
When you got the big promotion to slinging sausage around the field.
You get there early and it was either be Vince Pescia or the late John Studnicka at White Sox.
What?
He was the union steward.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny S., you'd go up there, you'd get there early.
Good union workers.
Yeah. And you'd get there early and you'd be like, can I please have beer? Nope. Soda pop.
Oh, man.
Oh, really? Cap,
what was his name? John who?
Studnicka.
Okay. All right.
Studnicka. Union steward till he died on the job. He died on the job. And then Vince Pescia over at Wrigley. He might still be there for all I know. Dude, I was a good union man.
I'm not so. He might have been, quite frankly.
Brother.
Yeah. Very, very well could be.
No, he was not.
He wasn't?
No.
Oh, that's an upset. 3-1-2.
And then I got fired.
Yes.
At Wrigley. Sox didn't fire me. The Cubs did.
Rogue t-shirts.
Rogue t-shirts.
312-332-ESPN. 332-3776. Telephone number. We're getting your thoughts about the Cubs and White Sox. Jump in with us. Also
opening
still to
day,
come.
Baby.
Some thoughts about the state of the sport. There's storylines already before we even get to opening day. We'll talk about them on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Checkmate 1-6, landing suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and it is brought to you by...
That'd be ESPN Bet. Get $100 in free bets when you sign up, download the app, and get your account going at ESPN Bet. We say good morning to Shay W. Norland.
Good morning, boys. On opening day Thursday, Deal Breakers Thursday. What an exciting, busy day. How are we feeling?
Hey, man.
Awesome.
What up, doe? As they say in Detroit. What up, doe? How's everything? It's a good day.
Shay's parents are in town. I think that's super cool. You're going to go to the game with your mom and dad. Dude, take pictures. My parents are gone, man. Those are memories. It's awesome.
That's exactly right. Aww. Well, I mean, it is a great memories. Absolutely.
It is. You just random stuff, man. Just take a quick, say, Dad, let's take a selfie. Let's get me, you, and Mom in here. Yeah.
Yeah. Baseball tells me that the weather's going to break. And a mild winter we've had, but the point is, though, is that I'm going to be out there and traveling and seeing a lot of baseball across this great country of ours.
Yes.
I'll be taking a look because it's
the
fun.
Best. The best. Is Jose Valentin in the lineup for you guys today?
Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot. I want to talk
Here's
a little...
Juan Uribe.
I would like to talk a little football. Ryan Poles talked this week about the concerns some fans have.
Upgrade.
About having only 4 draft picks in the 2024 draft. Poles said that when he looks at the numbers, if they only use 4 picks, that'll be 25 players in 3 years. That's right around where he wants to be. He says that's 8 players a season that you're adding as rookies. So Shot or No Shot. Ryan Poles will not trade down from the 9th pick in the draft.
That's a shot. It depends who's on the board. If you tell me that there's a really good player that he covets, whoever that's, Harrison, Neighbors, Adunze, Joe Alt, yeah, he might use that pick and get an impactful guy.
I would like for the Bears to go down and at 9 and be able to get more picks. But I think what we've illustrated here is the amount of movement that the Bears have made here in the offseason are even better than draft picks because of the experience, whether it's a backup tight end and a starting running back and guys on the offensive line. Those guys have skins on the wall. It's nothing like starting new and fresh. However, because of the magnitude and the amount of moves that he's made, he kind of makes up for the draft picks that you're missing. I'd rather for them to go down at 9, though. To get at least 2 picks. I'd like for him to do that. But if he doesn't, it is what it is.
If you tell me that there is an impactful guy right there at I'm picking at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That guy's still there? Take him. If you're like, oh, I got 8 or 9 guys I could take with that pick, then trade down a little bit if it's available to you.
Shay.
All right, it is opening day in Chicago. The Cubs expected to make an improvement this year on an 83-win season a year ago. They narrowly missed out on the playoffs. I think everybody was hoping they'd make those improvements this offseason. They definitely made a few to get better and get over that hump, make the playoffs in 2024. I'm going to get the two of you on the board with an official prediction. Shot or no shot, the Cubs will win the National League Central in 2024.
That is a shot. That is a shot. This team is good enough. You can look at it both ways. You can look at it in this way and say, well, the Cubs are the best team in the division. Where are the Cardinals going? If they don't get off to a hot start, Cap, I could see them unloading more parts by the time we get to the deadline. Okay, so Pittsburgh is getting better, but not on the same level as the Chicago Cubs.
Agreed.
Milwaukee's good, but I think the Cubs are going to have more wins in the division, end up winning the division. So, to me, when I look at all the teams that's in the division, I just think that the Cubs are the best ones that's out there.
I have a shot, absolutely, that they win the division. I think they're the best team in the division. Got to stay healthy, got to execute, but yeah, absolute shot that they win the division.
I think it's them and the Reds, probably in the National League Central. Would you be surprised if the Reds are second?
No. They got talent on that team.
I would not be surprised either. So, I've said this for a year plus now, Shay, that last year, even though Cap thought the Cubs were going in the playoffs, I just didn't feel good about the ball club and thinking that they were ready. They should be ready this year.
What's with all the hate on St. Louis? Now, obviously, we don't like St. Louis, but I just, every time I hear, like, Jesse, Cap talk about them, there's no chance this works. They're garbage.
I kind of feel like garbage. I just don't think that they're that good a team. They got some good players. I don't think they have enough quality pitching.
The betting market kind of scares me with them, though. They're the favorite to win the Central. They have the highest win total in that division. I know they had a disaster year last year, and they brought a lot of that front office back, but I'm kind of afraid to go against St. Louis this year.
Why?
Because what? I feel like the betting market is telling me not to.
Well, okay, well, let's start with the pitching. They had the fifth worst starters ERA in baseball last year. And so you're getting, do you feel like it's an improvement this year, Cap, when you have Lance Lynn on the team?
No, I'm not a huge Lance Lynn guy.
Okay.
I'm not. I don't understand how all of a sudden Lance, he was lousy here. He got out of a bad situation. He said it was a train wreck. He went to the Dodgers?
Yes.
He was lousy for them.
Yes.
Now he's going to St. Louis and all of a sudden I'm supposed to be scared?
My concern, I guess, is mostly the pitching, Shay. I think that's going to be an issue for them. That's the reason why I believe that they will underachieve.
I hope they do. I also hate them. Whole life.
No, I don't hate the Cardinals. I'm just saying, like, here's what all of us have been used to. The Cardinals being this model organization, knowing how to play the game the right way and be able to get the talent that they need, especially at the deadline. They've always been sound. That's why it was one of the reasons why Caps hates him so much, is because they've always been top shelf quality organization. Since Matheny on down, Schilt also, it has not been a good run
it
organization.
It's not.
And so I just think that they're on the downslope right now, and it's not Cardinal baseball when I watch them. I can't even recognize them. I think the pitching holds them back. No, I have no disdain in it. I got no dog in the hunt because I'm an American League guy. But I just think that the Cardinals are not the Cardinals that we've known over the years.
They're just annoying to me. They're the NFL or the MLB Steelers.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, it's a very solid comparison, Shay.
Where they just will never go away and they annoy me.
So that's my disconnect with them, that the Cardinals are going backwards because solely of the pitching. It's not going to be good enough. That heat, Big Lynn out there in 100-degree weather in St. Louis. And then maybe not have enough offense to support him. That's going to be great. Sonny Gray on the team too, right?
Sonny Gray is there.
Yeah. So
Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, I think they signed.
Gibson played well in September. But again, the team was so out of it.
Correct.
He pitched well. He allowed 8 runs over 30 innings. Had a good ERA, but it just wasn't enough. So that's the Cubs side of the ledger, Shay.
All right, the NCAA is trying to fix some of the problems being presented by sports betting. Couple scandals going on. You've got the Jontay Porter deal up in Toronto, the Shohei Ohtani stuff, whatever happens there. The NCAA is trying to come up with a plan that would ban player prop markets for college athletes to, quote, protect their student athletes from opportunities to fix results. Shot or no shot, this is a no-brainer.
Well, it's a shot. It's a detriment, so no one is going to bet on themselves. Like we saw with the Jontay Porter. You could call this the Jontay Porter rule.
So you're saying just get rid of them in its entirety?
Player props in college?
Yes. Yep. Can't play them at all?
Yeah.
I would get rid of them in the pros.
I would not. Same game parlays have changed the way we watch games.
Some could argue they've done it for the worse. Everybody wants to get their uncut gems parlay in every night. Like, if it's an avenue for players to fix results, I think you should get rid of it. Period. Like, I don't understand why that's a debatable thing. If I'm going to start hearing more and more about NBA players or whoever trying to find ways to bet their three-point unders and then just not attempt threes, yeah, you should get rid of that as a market. Fans shouldn't be allowed to bet on that and lose money when the player can control the result.
No, what you should do is make sure that the penalties are so severe that if you're caught, you're done. See you later. You're suspended for life. You can apply for reinstatement at some point, but you're gone. Period.
I guess in this case,
it's a privilege to wear that uniform and make that money.
I guess, Cap, in this case, this is getting ahead of it. I mean, Jontay Porter, that was just so egregious and so dumb. It's amazing when you make a lot of money and you say, I'm going to bet against myself. Maybe Jontay Porter did that. Again, that's all alleged from DraftKings' standpoint. But, I mean, what if you are a player? Because we can all see it. Everyone has the app on their phone. Imagine you see your name and you go, I can control that. I can control my shots. You don't want that. You don't want it. This is a slippery slope we talked about at the beginning when everyone started to have an app on their phone, in which players or teams or coaches or organizations could control their own fate. They can make their own money. Only, unfortunately, if it is true, Jontay Porter is not a smart man. Because, like, I'll put $10,000 on my under. I mean, not 50, not 100, not enough. When you got a gambling problem, now you're just going all in. $10,000 on your unders? You're an idiot. Of course that's going to be a red flag.
Correct.
Because the whole thing of it is, who's Jontay Porter? Michael Porter's brother. I didn't even know. I covered the league, didn't know who it was.
Right.
Seriously, Cap.
How many people I said that's Michael Porter's brother? So they went, it is?
Right.
They had no idea.
But so I guess the point is that in college, wouldn't you rather be ahead of it? I think that there's nothing wrong with that. Getting ahead of the story is like, hey, so this won't be a controversy, so this rogue kid won't bet on himself shooting 3 for 14. Oh, I hit the under. Because he can control it. Especially in today's society, Cap, where the portal's wide open and these guys are individualistic. The whole idea that guys are part of a team, like when you coach, that's out the window for the most part. A lot of these college athletes, especially in basketball, that feel like they're their own brand. Like, I can control my own brand because I can go from Illinois to SIU to Kansas. I can do what I want to do. Same thing with betting on yourself.
I don't really get involved very much in college props. I think the only one I've ever played was in the NCAA tournament. So if you said they did away with it in college, yeah.
That's fine.
In the pros, no shot. No shot.
Across the board, right? Like in any sport, basketball, baseball, you still want those player props.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So if you say, hey, I'm going to be at the Tigers game and the White Sox, and I'm going to play Tariq Skubal over on strikeouts. Okay. Go for it. Yes. I don't understand how that... He's still going out trying to strike people out.
Yeah.
So...
With my NIL money, I can shoot 2 for 15 and get the under. Now, it'll get flagged, but here's the thing. I'm betting against myself, and I'm hurting the ball club... Even though I'm part of a team we're trying to win, but now it's about me. It's about me. I want that extra money. I need that juice in the game. What about winning? Is that enough juice? No? Okay.
Correct. Different world today, man.
It is. All right, Shay.
All right, Ice Cube's The Big Three has made an offer to Caitlin Clark to play for them for $5 million. Caitlin Clark is expected to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft, but a WNBA rookie salary is slotted around $75,000. Shot or no shot, Caitlin Clark should take the money from the Big Three.
That's a shot. That's a shot. That's a shot.
Yeah, I can't say that.
Why not?
Because she wants to play professional basketball, 5-on-5, WNBA, maybe play in Europe in the winter because WNBA is a summer league. She makes plenty of money in endorsements, around $1 million, and she'll get a lot more when she's a pro. Yeah, I say no shot.
Why? But hey, can I just tell
then
you?
Then you become a Ice-capades. That's what you are. You're an Olympic-level skater, and now you're on the freaking Disney on Ice at Allstate Arena.
You know what that? You know what those things are you just mentioned? You know what those are? Draws. She's a draw.
Okay, is it only about the money?
Yes.
She's going to make plenty. She's going to make millions.
Well, you know when you make millions, you know what millionaires want. They want more millions, right?
Yeah, I don't think she takes it. I don't think she should.
But, Cap, think about this.
Cube. Here's Caitlin, I'm out.
Here's the reason why that she should. Man, it's half the work. Have you seen a Big Three game? It's half court, man.
Yeah.
You don't have to run up and down the floor. It's half-court basketball.
Correct.
So that's why it's like, yeah, I'll do this. Sure. And by the way, what a draw she'd be. I'm not sure what the Big Three is lately as far as attendance. I think they struggle in some markets.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine her being on one of those teams. When that barnstorming team comes into town, oh, my God. I mean, it pays for itself. She's on a team. Guys, women, little girls, little boys will want to see her in the Big Three. Absolutely. I mean, that paltry sum that she's going to make in the WNBA, it's horrible. Horrible what they're paying the rookies.
I wonder if this motivates the WNBA at all to change how they pay their players. Or really the NBA, because I know it's kind of a subsidy type of deal. But if the biggest calling card they've maybe ever had is getting poached by other leagues for more money, don't you have to kind of look in the mirror?
But again, you can't just pay her. You'd have to slot the salaries. Would have to go up dramatically. These teams don't have the money. They just don't. The TV revenue from these regional sports networks blowing up everywhere is affecting all sports except the NFL because they're not on regional TV.
They are flying
national television.
Flying commercial, Spirit Airlines, or whatever. It's not great. They travel WNBA. A quick one for you, Shay. Shot or no shot, if you're Caitlin Clark, would you rather take that Big Three deal or Dave Portnoy offering $10 million for her to play on the intramural team for Barstool Sports? You saw this, right?
Yeah.
$10 million. I guess that's a one-time thing?
I'm not trying to be rude. At least the Big Three's a real thing.
Right.
I'm not going to play in the Barstool Rec League. Like, $10 million obviously calls a name, but what, is she going to bring the ball up against Big Cat? How does that work?
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know.
Clark into the front court, hounded by Dan Katz.
Katz holds and looks.
Katz holds and looks. Portnoy trying to establish position. Now, all stolen by Clark. Can you imagine what Caitlin Clark would do to Big Cat?
Yeah.
Oh, she's
got a PFT commenter in a spin cycle.
She would destroy Big Cat, and I love him.
Everybody looks at her and they see the dollar signs. They see Caitlin Clark and they go, she's a hell of a ball player. When Barstool's looking at her, Big Three's looking at her.
Super cool.
She'll probably turn it all down, but I mean, there's money to be made, pal.
Totally.
All right, coming up around the NFL, deal breakers at 8:35 on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Huh?
It's
time to go around the NFL right here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to let you know that Greenberg comes your way. Mike Greenberg at 10. Carmen and Yurko broadcasting live from 12 to 2:30.
And that is the start of our baseball pregame. You get started with Carmen Yurk leading right into the official White Sox pregame show with Connor McKnight. And then first pitch is 3:10.
Cork and Carey at the park for Carmen Yurko at 12 o'clock. Afterwards, Waddle and Sylvie after the game. Bleck and Tyler from 6:30 to 8. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, a couple Bears items here. I want to start with Lewis Riddick. He has once again been wooed by a quarterback after a pro day. Had some thoughts on what the Bears should do with the number one pick. Says it's a difficult decision.
If I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one? Because for me, look, I got to see both him and Caleb now back-to-back, and I love talking to Caleb, and I love the way, you know, he kind of contextualized everything that's going on with him right now. And with Jaden, the same way. Just so composed, so mature, has a great sense of where he still needs to go and what he needs to work on. The way he got around with his teammates today. This kid is special. This kid, for me, is QB1. And I think talking to the people around here who were here at this workout, where there was darn near every team was here today, I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, he may just be QB1.
What is that, the third, fourth time that Lewis has flipped on who the number one quarterback in this draft is?
Mike,
I said it about Caleb. Why does anybody give this much of a rip about a pro day? Guy's throwing in gym shorts. We know he can throw the ball far. And he's got two speed wide receivers running under it. Who cares?
You know, it's really strange, Shay. It's like, I can fall in love with a ball player based on the string of games I watch in college football. But, like, on a pro day, not necessarily. Like, I know that there's a big evaluation for some teams, especially those that don't watch college and they see these guys for the first time in person. But my God, like, Lewis Riddick will say that he's in love with Caleb Williams on SportsCenter. Then he goes on Carlin versus Joe and says that. I mean, it's amazing. It's a whirlwind of opinions.
It is.
I mean, I don't get it. Like, my affinity for a ball player, like I told you about Drake May. I came in one Monday and it's like, hey, man, I saw Drake May. I've been watching him, and he is going to be a hell of a quarterback in this league. I saw the leadership. I saw the arm strength. I saw him on a team that wasn't very good, but he stood out to me more than anything else. That's when you are able to evaluate. It wasn't a pro day. It was games, actual games. But what do I know?
Yeah, I was surprised that he has vacillated from guy to guy. I am.
Huh?
Dan Orlovsky again this morning. Jaden Daniels is QB1. Okay, you can have. He's not a bad player. No one's denigrating him. I'm taking Caleb Williams.
And by the way, we're not going to denigrate any person that wants to vacillate between guy to guy.
Correct.
I will denigrate Jaden Daniels. I did my scouting report on him. What was it? A month and a half ago, and I told you guys I don't think I would take him in the top five. I don't feel like he's a top five pick.
But you have more though on that, don't you? Soon.
The more that I've watched him, the worse he gets. Mm. Not to be like, oh, put the tape on, but when I watch the games, this guy, if the play's not there initially, he is climbing the pocket to run exclusively. He is never climbing the pocket looking to extend a play with his arm. He's just trying to take off. And there were times where Malik Nabers is running open down the field, doesn't get a look, because instead of staying behind the line of scrimmage and doing some play extension, Jaden Daniels tucks and runs. It infuriates me when I watch it, and I feel like that's going to be more difficult to coach out of a kid than people are expecting.
All right, what else do we have?
Dan Campbell had some comments about the Justin Fields trade. Said, I'm not going to lie, it's nice to have Justin Fields out of the division. Somebody want to tell Dan Campbell he might want to be careful what he wishes for?
Yeah, but it's not that. Justin has had success against Dan Campbell. Justin is a nightmare to game plan for because he's different than what you face on a week-to-week basis. But good luck. He may say, wow, I would actually like to have the Fields kid back because Caleb Williams is destroying us. We don't know.
You could take that either way.
It was a compliment.
You could take it either way. It could be, man, that guy was dangerous and difficult to play because of his legs, or Caleb Williams sucks. Now we deal with this rookie. We're good now. Because now Justin Fields is not going to run all over us.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way at all. I just took it as it was a compliment to Justin.
There are two ways to look at it.
Yeah. I didn't take it that way. I took it as, look, he had some success against us, and I don't have to deal with that nightmare to match up.
And if you look at Dan Campbell's tenure as the Lions head coach, there is not a team in this division that has played him tougher than the Bears with Justin Fields. Just isn't. Whether the Bears won all of those games, they were consistently in them. While the Lions they've lost to the Vikings, they've lost to the Packers, they've also run them off the field multiple times. Mm-hmm. So the Bears are the only one that have been competitive virtually every single time they've played.
Yeah, the only one I remember was at 31-10. They came in here and eviscerated us. Or maybe it was up there, but yeah.
Yep, shut it down. Bears shut it down that game.
They did. Business decision.
Mm-hmm. Shay?
What is going to happen with the wide receiver market? Five of the best wide receivers in the NFL are up for extensions. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Brandon Ayuk, all extension eligible. We know Tyreek Hill got a $30 million deal with the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So my question, are teams really going to be willing to blow up their cap sheet and pay wide receivers north of $30 million a year, probably reset the floor of that market? Or do they go the Kansas City route and say, Tyreek, thanks for the memories. We're going to send you somewhere that will pay you and draft a guy like Rashee Rice and reset this thing.
What would you rather do in that spot? I guess it depends team to team, right, Cap? If you are a good football team, you say, we have a good infrastructure. Let's go through the draft and get someone that can fit into our system versus paying for a known commodity, $30 million a year.
Guy. Yeah. It depends. Like, they went and got Christian McCaffrey in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He was making a lot of money, but they were ready to win, and they came close. It's different. If you're... Oh, pick a team.
Carolina?
If you're Minnesota, you're in the midst of a bit of a rebuild or a reset.
Mm-hmm.
Do you keep the guy you've got? He's awesome. Boy, that's a lot of money, and we may not win a lot of football games.
New stadium, expectations in the Twin Cities. It's a tough sell. But you know what? I think that they're going backwards anyway, even with Jefferson.
Right.
And so, but I think that you have to make a business decision and say, if we don't have the quarterback right, then it's like a car with two tires and not four.
Right.
So you got Justin Jefferson. I think I have a good defense, but I don't have the quarterback to get him that ball. So Justin Jefferson, to me, becomes expendable if I'm the Vikings, because where are you going?
And what's fascinating about it is if they choose to trade Justin Jefferson, probably the result is a pick high enough that they can select their quarterback, as well as having another pick in the first round that they already own, unless they have to give it up via the Jefferson deal. Mm-hmm. They could answer both problems at once. You move off Justin Jefferson, you don't have to pay him $30+ million a year, and you can get your quarterback and a new number one wide receiver out of the draft. If you get it right, maybe it's somebody like Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, Brian Thomas Jr., and you just kind of funnel the position back.
Make sense?
Yeah, it's just a risk.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if nothing else, if you don't get the quarterback right, this is what it looks like. Like, yes, who wouldn't want Justin Jefferson? But Sam Darnold? Really? Nick Mullins?
Maybe they're trading up.
Maybe. So a rookie quarterback with a veteran wide receiver.
Right, but the rookie, let's say it's J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Now they let him sit behind Sam Darnold for a year, take a little step back. Got a high pick then next year. And you're like, we're going to just work with the kid. Kevin O'Connell's as good as it gets as a quarterback guru. Let's go.
You know, Shay, I don't know what to believe sometimes. I mean, we read everything and hear everything about these quarterbacks or certain players in the draft. Now, just 24 hours ago, I'm hearing that there was some issues with McCarthy where he wasn't as stellar as some would say. Depends on what you read. I saw the same. I mean, 24 hours ago, it's like, he's not good in play action. Okay, well, that was just a bad day, maybe. Who knows?
Everybody's got these weird opinions, man. If you read some people yesterday, Jaden Daniels was terrible. Jaden Daniels just looked awful. All the throws, the timing was off, whatever. And Lewis Riddick will tell you, he wooed everybody. He should be the number one pick in the draft. It's the same deal with McCarthy. McCarthy at the combine, half the people said he can't throw an out route, can't do play action. The handoffs are clunky. The same thing at the pro day. The other half will tell you he should be the number two pick in the draft.
Dude, there were guys literally
it's
scouts,
all a dice roll.
Scouts that said Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, third? You're taking a guard?
Mike Jordan.
Yeah, it was Mike Jordan. Yeah, we are. We're taking a guard.
Black and I talked about this yesterday. The three of us having these conversations all offseason warp our brains into pretzels and get wrapped up in this prospect should be here, and then you start twisting and looking at some other stuff, and all of a sudden you can't figure out which way's up. You've looked at so many different guys, and you fall in love with different guys. NFL teams are doing the same thing. That's why all this stuff moves so fluid. They confuse themselves, too. Nobody is immune to this.
All right, we got deal breakers right around the corner. Don't forget, Chris Getz, the general manager for the Chicago White Sox, comes your way at 9 o'clock. Cap and Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10.